Hola.
Hello, this call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow, ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow, now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
We're just about to do the podcast, and Sarah's like, you gotta do the podcast intro. You gotta do that. We're talking about Christy Noem killing her dog. What's more important? Well, a lot, because that's not going to be on the podcast today. But
no, she was at the vice presidential retreat, if you will.
Yeah.
Six people there. Well, how would you rank these? This is how I had it ranked. Six, Christy Noem. Five, Doug Burgum. I don't believe the Burgum hype. He's too low energy and I don't know, the eyebrows. A four, Tim Scott. Three, Lee Stefanik. Two, Marco Rubio. One, J.D. Vance. I'm trying to pick for Trump's preference in real life.
His preference in real life?
Yeah, like who is he going to pick? Like, not necessarily who I think would be the best, but who he's going to pick.
The only thing I would change is maybe, except for the dog thing, is Christy Noem. I had her much higher
before the dog thing.
Yeah, he could just be like, and I love her. She's great. She's the greatest. She kills her dog. Probably unnecessary, but I still love her. Here she is.
The PR fight back on the book has not gone well. No. So I don't think.
But he said about J.D. Vance, he said, quote, he wasn't a supporter of mine at the very beginning. He was saying things like, the guy's a total disaster. Anyways, I got to know him a little bit. As a non-politician, he's become one of the great senators. What does that mean, as a non-politician?
I don't know. It seems like those are two attributes that Trump likes in people. Yeah. One, not a politician. Two, people who used to not like him, but if he's won over. Like, that is a big category that Donald Trump likes.
He was a total disaster.
Yeah. He likes bringing it up, too, that you didn't get him right the first time.
Yeah, and Christy Noem, I think I'm just going to send to China. She'll kill some of their dogs. Anyway, today, great podcast. You don't want to miss a second of it. It begins in 60 seconds. Know a thing or two about pain. For years, I woke up pretty much every day of my life feeling like there was an elephant tap dancing all over my hands. I tried all kinds of things to fight the pain. I went to every doctor you could possibly imagine, and they did all kinds of tests, and I tried all kinds of things, and none of it worked. Thank God, Tanya talked me into trying Relief Factor. Threatened. She didn't talk me any more threatened than talked me into, but it worked, and I got my life back. It's not a drug. It's a daily supplement that helps your body fight pain by fighting inflammation. It's 100% drug-free. Over 1 million people have tried Relief Factor's Quick Start Kit, and 70% of them have gone on to order it again. I was at the end of my rope with pain. And I got to the point where I said, I can't do this anymore. I just can't do it anymore. And I was so desperate. My wife was so firm with me. I'm not going to listen to you whine if you don't try absolutely everything. I didn't think it would work. 3 weeks later, I said to her, I don't think this is working. And I stopped taking it. And my pain came roaring back. I just thought it was like, this is my head doing mm-mm. Relief Factor. $19.95. Comes with Relief Factor's Feel Better or Your Money Back Guarantee. So give it a try. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800, the number 4, Relief. When you feel the difference, you know it works. ReliefFactor.com.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Welcome to the Glenn Beck program. We're glad you're here. Oh, man, we're just all getting back. Pat's a little... he looks a little peaky today because he was at the Madonna concert in Brazil. We all flew down.
Man.
We all flew
what
down.
A man.
What a night.
Oof.
What a night. Yeah. It was not, it's not worth what we paid for, which was free. It was free.
It was free.
We didn't pay anything.
We paid $0.
Still a little disappointing at that price.
Yeah.
Welcome, Pat. How are you?
Oh, tired. You know,
you
just
bet.
Getting back from Rio and all,
yeah.
But other than that, doing good.
That's the only thing that could get you to Rio, too.
That's it.
I'm like, hey, let's go to Rio. And you're like, no, why don't we go to Rio? And I said, Madonna's doing a free concert on the beach.
Man.
That's like, I'm
now I'm
color
there.
Me there.
I mean, she might have a bikini on. You know, remember that? That was...
at just 65 years old and still as hot as ever. So
not, maybe not as ever. It is.
Oh, man. Oh, no, stop. It's hurting.
She really wants to try to pretend that she's 23 still.
She does.
God, just let me vomit. She's not. Just let me vomit, Lord, please. Oh, just let it. Okay. I've got something here that I think is, it's gonna cheer you up.
Good.
Two students. First cut for college student who's a little upset. She was a protester. And she can't go to her graduation now. No. Here she is.
I'm being restricted from a lot of things right now. That I didn't expect to be for standing up for something that I believe in. I have family coming in who I have to let them know to, you know, not come to my graduation ceremonies. I'm just disappointed. I mean, I'm a 2020 high school grad, so I wasn't able to walk then.
Oh.
And so,
you know,
yeah. Here it is. I'm not able to walk now.
Yeah, you should walk
knowing,
to a dentist.
You know, what you know now, like you said, you were standing up for a cause. Would you do it again?
I mean. Yeah, I would. I was doing what I believed was right, and I still believe it to be right.
Yeah.
So much harm has been done. To all of those people.
All of those people. You mean the people that were raped and then stabbed and then the kids set on fire? Those people?
No, not those.
Oh, not those.
No, the other people.
All right.
The other people who were told to leave and then airdropped food and then.
And then turned on those people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Those people.
Man. Now, parents, how many times have we said this? Now, you're going to have to pay the price, okay? You're paying the price being a parent because you showed up for all of your kids' activities. Cut 5.
Am I the only one whose narcissistic parent would show up to every single event I was ever involved in? This is one of those weird ones where I always felt like speaking about this behavior negatively could be perceived in the wrong way. Mm. Like my parent was just being supportive, and how lucky was I to have a parent who always showed up?
Uh-huh.
Boo-hoo, your parent was there for you.
Yeah.
But did you also feel like sometimes it was a bit excessive, especially it was a bit more of a repetitive thing where maybe I was doing the same thing on multiple days in a row?
Okay, hang on just a second. Hang on, little cupcake.
Oh,
listen.
Gosh.
Just let me just say this. Yes, we did find it very, very repetitive. Going to every single one of your performances, everyone, even when you were doing the same thing. Yes, but we did it anyway to show you support. You narcissistic little piece of crap.
Mm.
We made effort to make sure we didn't miss any of them. Maybe we should have missed some of them. Maybe we should have. You know what? Maybe go outside and play. Come back when the lights go out. We'll worry about you if you don't come back by 6 the next morning. What? I mean, you cannot win in this.
No, you can't.
Generation is so narcissistic. No matter what you did, you showed up, you didn't show up.
Yeah, they're going to complain about it either way.
Oh, yeah.
So the... because there is obviously a thing that has been talked about, like the helicopter parenting thing. Is that the complaint here? I mean, because like just showing up for an event isn't helicopter parenting.
No, you showed up for every event.
That seems like a great parent.
Every event.
Right? Like
every ball game.
Don't you want your
every
fans at your games?
No, because it seemed like you just wanted to support them, but that's not it, apparently.
Apparently, no.
Right?
You're getting something out of
it.
You're trying to make yourself look
this
like...
This makes me look really good,
good
parent. I go to all your stupid events that I don't want to go to.
And what you're really doing... Let me just... Come on. At least guys can be honest about this. I don't know if women can. There's about half the events you're like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
How many recitals do you want to go to?
Yeah.
Seriously.
How many
where
times
you
do
see
you think...
your kid or your grandkid for 5 minutes and then it's 3 hours long?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, okay,
didn't want to go
I'd
to that.
Chew my arm off to get out of that.
I had to go to the Nutcracker. The Nutcracker every year, and Cheyenne was in it for like, I don't know, 3 minutes. Uh-huh. Look, there she is, dressed as a sugar plum. Then that's it. Then I gotta watch the rest of it.
Yeah.
I could have missed those, mm-hmm. but we didn't. Mm. We went. Mm-hmm.
Mm. You guys are bad parents. I can't believe you're saying this.
Really? You didn't go? Yeah. You just skipped some of that stuff?
Yeah. Well, they don't come. They never have events at the casino, which is where I am. So, they, you know, it's not my fault. No. I mean, look, there are lines, too. I think Pat will at least be able to agree with this. It's like, you know, there's certain things that you like that your kids do. Like, mm-hmm. I really like baseball.
Yeah, me too.
So I love going to watch my kids play. My daughter is in gymnastics. It's really fun to watch her do her events in gymnastics. I freaking love it.
I love it too.
Then there's 9,000 other people going. Yeah.
And then it's not as good.
I say to my wife all the time, honey, we're sitting in the back. We could leave. We could leave right now. Nobody would ever know. It's not right. We have to support all the other. No, we don't. No, we don't. We're here to support our kid. Mm-hmm. Not all those. I don't like those kids. I don't know those kids, but I don't like them because I generally don't like other people's kids. Mm. Nobody does. If you're honest, nobody likes other people's kids.
It's accurate.
Yes.
It's accurate.
Thank you.
Mm. And I certainly don't like that kid that we just heard from.
Yes. We can agree on that.
I'm not going to any of her events. Yeah.
Would you like? What would you say if that was your kid?
Oh,
you saw that.
I would be a little upset. I believe.
Because you don't realize it when you're a kid that like your parents have lives, right?
Yeah.
Like you don't think of them, you don't think of it as like they're canceling something they could be doing to come to your thing. You just think of it as that's their job. Right? They're supposed to be there.
I'm going to say something I always hated when I heard it. My mother used to say it. Mm-hmm. And I know once it's uttered, it happens because it's happened to me. I hope that girl gets 4 children. Exactly like her. Then she'll know. Mm-hmm. Then she'll know.
Mm-hmm. I was just trying to help. I was just trying to show you support.
Problem is, she's so narcissistic, she won't have any children. It'll just be about her.
That's probably a good decision.
I love that. I love that. Mm-hmm. If you're narcissistic, please don't have children.
Yeah.
If you're you know, you're going to school and you're babbling that nonsense, I don't want you to have children. Just... You'd be a horrible, horrible parent.
These are the kind of idiots, though, that are supporting Hamas, right?
It's me, 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 and all about death. How could you possibly be? You are so clueless. How could you possibly be, you know, in the LGBT community and be standing up for Hamas?
Doesn't make any sense at all.
It makes no sense unless you're so blind and narcissistic that all you think about is me and my gayness, and I'm going to bring some credibility to this movement. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's all about narcissism.
These stances don't even make sense with each other anymore. Like,
they don't. But they've all been combined now for some reason. They've all kind of
so weird
melded into one.
And I think that's an overall politics thing, right? Like you get if your team tells you that you're supposed to support this. Than you do for what 70% of America, and like that's terrifying.
Wait a minute. You're saying it doesn't. Could we please go back? Pat hasn't heard this. You just go back to cut 45, please. He's saying this doesn't make sense. Pat, listen. Okay. To this.
So, which side do y'all think North Korea supports, Palestine or Israel? Just guess. It is Palestine. The DPRK has actually never recognized the state of Israel. They have always upheld the right of Palestinian people to self-determination and resistance. And this is beyond moral and rhetorical support. The DPRK has actively armed and trained Palestinian resistance for decades. That includes the PLO, the PFLP, and the DFLP have trained troops by the DPRK.
Wow. Yay!
Isn't that great?
If you were listening to Friday's show, or you listened to Pat a couple of weeks ago, you heard the guy we had on that said the United States government took the Malaysian airliner, opened up a wormhole, and sucked that plane through it. I'd like them to prove that reality with all of these stupid, moronic kids. Just open it up at a college campus, suck them out into space.
Yeah, we don't necessarily have a destination. They just are sucked into the wormhole.
Yeah.
They're gone.
I don't know what happened to them.
I don't know where they went.
That's weird.
And you'll be shocked, by the way, if you're listening on radio and not seeing that clip, that she is wearing a mask outdoors while saying all of this.
And
of
looking
course.
Over her mask to read. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know this stuff. She went,
reading this sentence word by
she
word.
Was either given this stuff or she went online and was like, who else supports the Palestinians?
She's like North Korea's Corinne Jean-Pierre. Right, she's just sitting there reading all every word that she's saying.
Yeah. You know
propaganda.
You know who else was with the Palestinians? Hitler. Hey, that's not doesn't help you really. Let me tell you about Patriot Mobile. If you're a leftist, not a Democrat, a leftist, you're listening to the sound of my voice right now. God bless you. First of all, keep it under wraps. They might kill you in your own camp. But let me talk to you about the parallel economy. People like that are going to be sent to the gulag for listening because they happen to actually catch my voice and they're like, oh my gosh, it's Glenn Beck. You have no idea what it is like to have every corporation in the world slap you in the face. Once in a while, there's a company that's like, I actually like these people. I like what they stand for. I like America. It is so refreshing. America's only Christian conservative mobile company, mobile phone company, is a Patriot Mobile. They offer dependable nationwide coverage, so you can access any of the three major networks that everybody's on, but you don't have to worry that your money is being, you know, sent to places like Planned Parenthood. And Patriot Mobile actually likes you. I know it's a crazy thought. They have affordable, excellent plans. 100% U.S.-based customer service team is going to make the switching easy for you. Make the switch today at patriotmobile.com/Beck or call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT, or patriotmobile.com/Beck. Now, back to the podcast. This is the best of the Glenn Beck program. Are you better off than you were 5 years ago? Is our country better than it was 5 years ago? Are we more stable than we were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 12 years ago? Is the world closer to world peace or closer to world war than it was 5 years ago? Are we closer to a nuclear war today than we were 5 years ago? You have to remember this nuclear war thing. It was just a couple of years ago they started kicking this around and we all went, wait, I thought that was over. Don't get used to that. That is not normal anymore. Are we more respected in the world today than we were 5 years ago? Do bad guy countries fear us more or less than 5 years ago? Is our military more or less prepared for any major war than it was 5 years ago? By the way, couple that with your answer, is the world closer to world peace or world war? Does that concern you? Are our streets safer than they were 5 years ago? Our police, are they more respected? Remember, 5 years ago was the throes of BLM. It was 4 or 5 years ago that everybody was on the street and they were marching to reimagine the police and to put counselors out on the street instead of police officers. Are our cities struggling to hire more counselors or more police officers than they were 5 years ago? Are police officers more likely or less likely to jump in and help when there's a problem? Your 911 service, is it faster than it was 5 years ago? Or is it slower, the response time, than it was 5 years ago? Is our relationship between the police officers and blacks, Hispanics, anybody. Is it better? Because that's what they were claiming. They needed counselors and they needed people to train the cops. So is our police officer, our police force, their relationship, is it better or worse or the same than it was 5 years ago? And even if it's the same, why? Didn't we go through all of that to fix that problem? Is it even close to being fixed? If someone commits a crime in America against you or against anybody that you know, are they more or less likely to go to jail? Our justice system, do you have more trust in it or less trust? If you don't trust the justice system and you don't trust the police and you don't trust the government, when you have a problem, who do you go to? Who is actually holding up the torch? I mean, it used to be you could go to the media and the media would expose the bad guys and the government would come in and take care of it. Or if the bad guys were the government, the people would take care of business. Do you have more faith in the government than you did 5 years ago? Do you have more faith in the media than you did 5 years ago? You know, we had to bail out the banks in 2008. Why? Why? Because they had become too big to fail. Remember? Too big to fail. We've got to stop this. Did they fix that problem? Are our big banks bigger or smaller than they were in 2008? Who was hurt by all of the fixes to make banks smaller so they would never be too big to fail? The banks that were hurt, were they the big banks or were they the small banks? Do you have trust in the security of your bank? Is that trust getting better or worse than it was 5 years ago? Do you have trust that our Treasury and our Federal Reserve have your best interest at heart? And is that getting better or worse? Is inflation better or worse than it was 5 years ago? Is your confidence in the people that are in charge, is your confidence in them knowing how to fix it, being able to even assess what's going on, is your confidence in them getting better or worse? Do you think they are adding to the problem or fixing the problem? Do you know our new hopeful target for inflation is now 3%? So that means we're hoping to hit 3% additional inflation every single year. Not reversing. Prices don't go down, but they only go up from here 3% per year. That's our hope. Over the last 3 years, official inflation was around 12%. It's probably closer to 20. But their plan is to increase the inflation that we have right now by another 15% by the time the next president's term ends. Is that in the right direction or not? Is your gas price better or worse than it was 5 years ago? How about the price of insurance? Is that better or worse? Is it easier or harder for you to find a house? Find a house. Easier or more difficult than it was 5 years ago? Your mortgage rate, Is it lower or higher than it was 5 years ago? Price of milk? Our schools. Do you feel our children are more safe or less safe in their schools than you did 5 years ago? Remember, it was about 3 years ago we started finding CRT. All of this DEI, all of this stuff has happened under this president. Do you have more confidence in your school or less confidence in your school? Do you have more confidence in your school's librarian or less confidence? Are our children better educated or worse than 5 years ago? Are our children more stable mentally than they were before all this gobbledygook started? Do you believe that we have a handle on terrorism? Is our country more safe from terrorists or less safe than it was 5 years ago? How do you feel about your job? I can't think of a category that has gotten better. Can you? Every category that I look at, it doesn't speak of health in any way, shape, or form. Are we happier than we were 5 years ago? Are we more comfortable? Are we more content? Not in any category, not in a single category, at least that I can find. Is Afghanistan better off? Is Israel better off? Is Ukraine better off? There is a reckoning that is coming. There's a reckoning that is coming. By the way, I just keep thinking more. How about electricity rates? Do you feel like we will have power when needed? Is that confidence better or worse? Our border, better or worse? Your freedom, the fundamentals of our Bill of Rights, do you have more confidence or less confidence that the people in Washington, I don't care what party they're from, are actually going to enforce the Bill of Rights? This is called a reckoning. When a country goes this far off, there is a reckoning that comes. It's like you tell your kids, you know, they're getting bad grades in school. You're going to flunk. You're going to flunk. Come on, work harder, work harder. Come on, how can we help you? Let's go. Let's get a, you know, we got to get to a tutor, whatever it is. And the kid doesn't do it. And you're like, there's going to come a time where it's too late for you and you're going to flunk. There's going to come a time where it's too late for you and you're not going to be able to make it into college. That's a reckoning. And it's just a natural response to really bad, screwed up ideas. And until you change your ways, the reckoning just gets worse and worse and worse. When it comes, it's devastating. One of my favorite lines, my favorite sayings is, nothing will change if nothing changes. We're shuffling the deck and we're moving the chairs around the table. We're just moving the chairs around the table. We're moving the chairs on the deck of the Titanic. if nothing changes, nothing will change. And it's getting worse and worse and worse.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
All right. Today, something is going to sound in Israel. Something that they are used to, but this one's not going to come as a surprise, and it will sound like this. Normally, in Israel, that means that you have to get to a shelter. But for 1 minute, over the entire country of Israel, this will sound. This is a special day in Israel. The first time I was in Israel, I got off the plane, I got into the car, and that happened. And you could hear it in the car. We were on the highway, and all the cars pulled off to the side of the highway, and everybody just sat there. And I'm like, what's happening? Let me ask you, why do we go to museums? Why do we visit historic sites and memorials? Why do we walk through horrible places? Why do we walk through Arlington Cemetery, where it's just marking the dead, or go into the dreadful silence of Auschwitz? I mean, I guess it's one way, you know, maybe it's escapist tourism, you know, clad in the outward appearance of learning, but really it's no different than a trip to the Guggenheim. Is it only so we can say we were there? Is it to honor the memory of those who lived through the event? Is it so we can know, maybe try to understand and remember? I mean, really, why learn history at all? That's what our kids are probably asking now. Why? Why do I even learn? It's just a bunch of names that I have to memorize and dates. For better or for worse, this is the past and everyone involved in it is dead or nearly so. So why remember it? Well, we have museums, we have memorials, we have holidays because history is proof of concept. It either worked or it didn't in a spectacular way. What happened once can happen again. If we can understand what happened, how, and why, maybe we can have we have greater agency in our own time, in our present, and in our future. Today, the air sirens will go off in Israel because today is Holocaust Memorial Day. The wider world has such a day, January 27th. It's the anniversary of the Red Army liberation of Auschwitz. But have you ever celebrated? Did you even know that's what the world is supposed to do on January 27th? But we have a lot of those days, and they all become like the International Hot Dog Day, and they mean nothing. Speaking of International Hot Dog Day, in America, you could call that July 4th. Which, the 4th of July, why don't we call it Independence Day? A further erasing of our history. Make it about the hot dogs. Make it about the fireworks. Make it about the 4th of July, not Independence Day. For much of the world, the Holocaust is both memory and warning, for its students' own sakes and for the sake of others, so they don't become victims or perpetrators or silent bystanders, as it should be. That's what it's all about. Although given the number of genocidal acts committed in full view all over the world since 1945, and what's happening on our college campuses now, I wonder, did we fail to teach this? Or did anyone actually really ever mean never again as more than just a, hey, how you doing, Bill? Never again. For its part, Israel has its own Holocaust Memorial Day, and it's today. It's Yom HaShoah. It's full name is Yom HaShoah, something else I can't pronounce, but it means the day of the Holocaust and of heroism. Because the point is not to commemorate the Holocaust alone, its horrors and its victims. That's only half the story. The other half that we always seem to forget, even in our own holidays, is the courage and heroism of those who didn't go along. In our case, Memorial Day, it's not just about the fallen. It's about the heroism of those who went into battle. In this case, the righteous Gentiles who refused to go over the cliff with the rest of their genocidal neighbors, or the Jews who would not go naked or quiet into the gas chamber or the killing fields. The commemoration today happens on the Hebrew anniversary of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. That's probably the greatest single example of the latter type of courage. These were kids. These were all just kids. They had lost everything. Their families were all dead. And they decided, we're not going to stand for it anymore. And they rose up. Now, note the contrast in the choice of dates. January 27th celebrates the rescue of Jewish victims, worthy enough. But the date of Yom HaShoah also celebrates the courage of those Jews who refused to be victims and who chose to fight. Too many people went like lambs. And while some went in faith, even knowing for certain they were going to die along with their children, some also showed that they didn't have to be this way, even if they too didn't survive in the end. They are proof of concept. They not only informed, but they were the generation that then fought for Israel's very existence. They were a generation that taught the lesson that never again means never again must the people of Israel depend on the goodwill of others for its survival. Do you hear that? Never again means never again must the people of Israel depend on the goodwill of others for its survival. This defines my support of Israel. Let them defend themselves. We don't have to go over there. We don't have to fight their war. They're not asking for it. Today, air raid sirens will sound a different tone from one that Israelis are accustomed to. The whole country comes to a complete standstill. Doesn't matter. People stand in silence, only the sound of the air siren. In their home, the office, on the street, by the side of the road, when the siren sounds, it is the most incredible thing. The entire country stops. And they do it because whether or not you've seen Auschwitz, the memory has to be kept alive. It's worth a minute of silence every year. Do we have any national ritual like that? Is there anything in American history that's worth all standing still for a minute once a year? It's a physical act. Spring holidays follow a fascinating and kind of revealing sequence in Jewish and Israeli life. Passover, then the Great Liberation Holiday. It's not actually a standalone. It's followed 50 days later by, I think it's Shavuot, which celebrates the revelation at Sinai. And it says freedom alone is not enough. You can be free. But then what happens? You'll wander in the desert if you don't have a purpose, a mission. That's what we're lacking in America. Purpose. Who's stating our purpose? Now, since 1948, new dates have popped up between these two. Yom HaShoah and back-to-back a week later, Israel's twin Memorial and Independence Day. And they commemorate more historic events involving the same generation, the resurrection of the state of Israel and the terrible cost of that resurrection. So the sequence now, listen to this, liberation, catastrophe, rebirth, purpose. They didn't just magically arrange themselves, unless you still believe in coincidence. Liberation, catastrophe, rebirth, and purpose. We have to be reborn and have a purpose. The shadow over the sirens today will be October 7th. The memory of the Holocaust is fading out of living memory and into the pages of history. My generation, we could still hear survivors speak, but only a few are left. Very soon, just be recordings, which, will fade literally and figuratively, and also become old and remote and increasingly difficult to relate to. They'll become history. October 7th is fresh. Too many graves still fresh. Too many wounded survivors. Too many victims still waking up screaming in the night. And an unknown number still on day 213 that are being held hostage, suffering only God knows what in the tunnels under Rafah. Like in the Holocaust, it can be difficult to remember the testimonies we do have that don't actually reflect the worst of what happened, because by definition, those who went through the worst don't live to tell it. But it's different this year, October 7th, because the Nazis didn't record the worst things they did. They destroyed the evidence. Hamas went out of their way to film their atrocities live in full color, gleefully bragging about it in all the phone calls and social media posts. Maybe eventually we might learn from having evil this clearly displayed in full daylight. But whatever the case is, we have to teach our children never again, because never again is now, especially on our college campuses.
Hola.
Hello, this call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow, ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow, now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.